What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Munoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community pa todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala.
You're tuning into Capítulo 187.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we interviewed Doris Anaí Munoz. Go ahead and tune into that episode. Leave us a review, subscribe to Locatora Radio, and share with a friend.
So by the time this episode is released, we'll be in that holiday limbo, which is post-Christmas, pre-New Year's Eve. Nobody knows what day it is. Nobody knows what time it is. So we hope you're listening to Locatora Radio in the comfort of your home.
If you need to sneak away from your family, if your mental health is suffering because of the holidays, listen to this episode because it's actually about self-care for Latinas.
Yes.
It's the perfect time to tune in with the stress of the holidays and the anticipation of a new year.
Yeah, and we hope your Christmas was filled with, you know, lots of rest, good food, tamales, whatever your family makes, eats during the holidays, and hopefully no drama.
And if there is drama, hopefully it's juicy and you can tell us about it.
Yes, and you can tell us about it. We also hope you're getting your New Year's Eve rituals ready. My family does the 12 grapes at midnight. And sometimes we pack the maletas. We used to do that when I was a kid. We not so much anymore, but that's a thing. That's been a thing for us.
That's so cute. For New Year's Eve, historically, well, we like to watch the ball drop. Like,
okay.
We like to watch Andy Cohen and formerly Don Lemon and the whole, like, Times Square. And we love, like, we used to do Martinelli's.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? And then, like, little poppers. But this year, we're actually going to be spending New Year's Eve together.
Our first time, I think.
Our first, like, holiday
together. Yeah, like, actually spending it together.
Yeah, and with friends.
We're going on a friends trip, and we're really excited. It's local, but I'm really excited to, like, do a little getaway with our closest, dearest friends.
Yeah, we're going to the desert. We're going to be isolated. We're going to see some stars.
Yeah, maybe we'll do shrooms. I don't know.
We're going to do some drugs.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's been a year and we deserve drugs.
I think we deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm taking my books and I'm thinking about maybe cooking one meal for y'all and we'll see.
I am so excited because iconically, famously, Diosa does not cook.
I don't.
So this is a treat.
I don't. I can do it. I just really don't like to do it.
Fair.
You know, it's one of those things. And then, you know, Fernando is a good cook and likes to do it. So I'm like, well, you do it then.
100%.
You know, I make all the Latina moms mad, but it is what it is.
Food tastes better when a man cooks it for you.
You know what? I think you're right.
I think you're right. There's just something about it.
And I think that that's a good segue into our conversation. Today, we are joined by journalist, writer, and longtime friend Raquel Richard. She's an award-winning journalist and editor, and currently she is the deputy director of Somos, Refinery 29's channel by and for Latinas.
And over the years, Raquel has covered really important topics in her writing, including the Puerto Rican experience, bodily autonomy, body politics, and so much more. She's from Orlando, Florida. She reps Orlando real hard. And we just love Raquel. We've been knowing her for several years now. We actually talk about how we met her years ago during our interview. It's such a fun story, and she's just such a fun person to talk to.
And we'll be talking about her debut book called Self-Care for Latinas, a little bit about this book. Between micro and macro aggressions at school, the workplace, and even the grocery store, a constant news cycle highlighting Latina trauma and a general lack of resources for women of color, it's tough to be a Latina woman and prioritize your wellness, both physically and mentally. With Self-Care for Latinas, you'll find 150 exercises to radically choose to put yourself first. Whether you need a quick pick-me-up in the middle of the day, you're working through the feelings of burnout, or you need to process a microaggression, this book is for you. In a world that works to devalue Latinas, it's time to make the radical decision to prioritize you, your life, your joy, and your self-care.
It is hard to be us, huh?
It's hard to be us.
It's really hard to be us.
It's really hard to be us. But here we are.
Here we survive. We're surviving. Persevere. Every day we persevere.
And we look good while doing it.
Especially. We look especially good while doing it.
Yes.
So if this speaks to you, keep on listening. Pick up the book, Self-Care for Latinas, and let's hear more from the author herself, Raquel.
Okay, Locamores, without further ado, we are so excited to bring La Única, the incredible, the beautiful Raquel to Locatora Radio. Welcome, Raquel. Please introduce yourself and say hello to our listeners.
Oh my God, what an intro. Thank you. I'm Raquel. I'm an Orlando-based Boricua journalist and now author.
Yeah, and we have been knowing Raquel for a long time now.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, the same amount of time I've known you, Mala, like, kind of, like, in the flesh, right?
Yes.
Since, like, 2016.
Yeah, that's when it all started.
Yeah, in 2016. And we have seen you grow as a journalist, as a creative. And so now to be able to interview you for on Locatora to talk about your book is so incredibly exciting for us. So tell us about this, your debut book, right? You've been working as a journalist for many, many years. But tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah. So wait, first of all, I just want to know, I think that I was like one of the first journalists to interview the two of you about this podcast. So like, again, so wild.
So full circle. You were the first journalist to reach out to us and interview us for Latina Magazine, for the online. Yeah. And that was one of our first features. And I remember when you interviewed us, we were on the phone and we were sitting at a Cuban cafe in Downey, like Mala and I taking the interview with you, and it was loud and it was noisy, but it was our first time doing it. And
yeah,
I remember that.
Our first time doing press. And for real, like true day one listeners, Raquel was one of the original founding members of the Mommy Collective.
And
Yes.
The East Coast.
Yes. Yes.
The East Coast mommy.
We met that fateful night in downtown LA. And it was hilarious because we were supposed to all go to the Down and Out first.
Oh my God.
That's where the meetup was supposed to happen.
Forgot about this.
Raquel had a bottle on her. And the bouncer was like, absolutely not. So we went around the corner.
It wasn't even my bottle.
It wasn't your bottle.
It wasn't
your bottle.
It wasn't your bottle. In my purse.
You were innocent. You were innocent in this whole ordeal. And the bouncer was like, no, you can't come in. So we went around the corner and tried to disguise you. We're like, okay, put your hair up. Put on these glasses. Here's a jacket. So the whole function.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So the whole function got moved across the street to the Onyx Lounge.
Yes. Yep.
And we had to tell everyone to go there.
That's
they
where
did
the
it.
Mommy Collective was formed at Onyx Lounge.
In the bathroom.
And then I remember this other time, Becca, like not to detour too much from this purpose of this interview, right? But this one time you were in LA with our other friend, Kat Lazo, and y'all sent me into a dispensary by myself. And I had never been into a dispensary before. I had never bought anything. Mala didn't have her. She ID. Lost her license.
Again, oh I used to lose my God. License all like the every time. Month. Like once oh. a month, I lost my license.
There was a period where Mala was losing her ID like literally 5 times, like within a year.
Yeah.
And then you were out of state. Kat was out of state. So then there's little old me who doesn't know shit about cannabis. A little more now, but at the time, no sabía nada. And y'all send me in there, and I have my little notes on my phone. And hello, you can't have your phone out.
That's so true.
And I was like, I have my list. Like, what do I do? And I just went off memory. And I think I did okay, but
you did a great job.
Yes, we have done some wild things together. So it's so
I need
fun.
To note that it's also been like a handful of times that we've physically been together. Yes. But it's always a time.
It's always a great time. The sisterhood is real in spite of only being like in real life, like a handful of times, like you said.
Yeah.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The vibe is real. The connection is real.
Yes.
And so that's also why we're so excited for you and so proud of you, because we've seen you over the course of your career over the past several years. And we've known you primarily to be a journalist. And it's very exciting to see you enter into this space of writing self-care and writing books and being an author. So it's just all the way around. It's super cool and fun.
Yeah. It's been a wild ride. I feel like I say wild multiple times a day, every single day since this all started. But so Self-Care for Latinas, I've been describing it as a resource for Latinas hoping to nourish themselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. In the book, there are several self-care practices and techniques, and each one is accompanied by data, history, and narratives that really underline why these tools are necessary to begin with. Right? So highlighting the social, cultural, and political blows many of us experience, some of us more than others. I believe that in order for self-care to be effective, it must include analysis of the problems that impact us mentally, physically, and spiritually. Yeah, so for instance, like, you know, in the book, you know, I share different techniques. You know, one of them might be like, breath work, technique, right? And how this can help you lower your stress levels during stressful encounters. But beyond that, like, it's also about understanding where that stress comes from, whether that be microaggressions, forced family separations, ethnic cleansing, sexual violence, mass incarceration. Just that recognition is key in confronting, externalizing, healing, and arming yourself.
And Raquel, how did the book come to be? Have you always wanted to write this type of a book? Have you always sought to do self-care writing? How did this opportunity come about for you?
Yeah, so interesting story. So I've spent most of my career covering body politics, Latina body politics specifically. And so that encompasses things like reproductive justice, body image, eating disorders, gender-based violence. And that has also incorporated wellness, right? And thinking about the ways our culture, our competing cultures, right? The harm that that does to us mentally and physically oftentimes. And with this book, so this book is part of a series at Adams Media, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster. And they have self-care for Black women, self-care for Black men. And they had this title greenlit, Self-Care for Latinas, and they were looking for a Latina writer. And they had reached out to me, given the breadth of my work, and asked me how I might approach this book. And they were very pleased. And so it all happened very, very quickly. Like, they reached out, I think it was in February. I think I got my overview to them 3 days later. And then in less than a week, they were like, we love it. And then we signed a contract. It just happened really quickly. And then my deadline was in 3 months. It was just, literally this happened in February and the book comes out in December. So it all happened in 1 year.
Amazing.
That's wow. Yeah.
Very cool.
Definitely what's meant for you finds its way to you, right? So that's so incredible. And I wanted to go back to what you said about the context that you're writing this book from, because I think that, we've talked about self-care and community care for so much over the course of this podcast. And one of the things we always say is missing from the mainstream conversation about self-care is that it removes the systems that mm-hmm. Make it really challenging and difficult for us to care for ourselves and for each other. So I love that you have, in your intro and throughout, you have this very grounding way of writing about these systems that encourage us to not take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Whether that be micro and macroaggressions, whether that be systemic racism or just day-to-day street harassment, all these types of things that we as Latinas face, and giving us the tools then to take care of ourselves in spite of these things.
Yeah, I've always felt that self-care is a misnomer, at least for women of marginalized races and ethnicities, right? For us, self-care has always been tied to community care, right? In the book, I mm-hmm. write about how Gloria Anzaldúa once said, I changed myself, I changed the world. And Audre Lorde talked about self-care, self-preservation, and an act of political warfare. And these women understand and understood that taking care of ourselves means taking care of all of us, both pouring into ourselves so we can sustainably pour into others, and by modeling self-compassion, self-preservation, self-value, self-joy, self-love, right? So that the next generation of women understand that we are worthy of these things despite what society tells us, right? That we want to see them self-full and not self-sacrificed.
I'm really curious about what the response has been to the title, to the book just existing in general. How are readers responding? And I'm sure you've had readers who have been following your work for some time now, reading your reported pieces.
Yeah.
And when you announced this book, what has your readership, what has the response been like?
There's been so much excitement around this book, this title. It's been so nerve-wracking. Because it's so different from anything that I've done before. I mean, in some ways, like, write the issues that I'm talking about, you know, I've reported on for many years, but it's a different format. And so there's a lot of excitement from people who know my work, who have followed me for a really long time. There's also a lot of excitement from folks who, you know, aren't familiar with my work, who are now following me, because they are just really excited to get their hands on this book. So it's exciting. it's really so beautiful. There have been so many moments where I've just shed tears in disbelief around the feedback. Like, there are folks who have you know, gotten a chance to read The Galley and have described it as a game changer. That's, again, wild to me. but I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of my Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the reception online. I've been following, of course I follow you, and I've seen the things that you've shared, like the roundups, right, that you've been included in, and how it's also the timing of this book. It's released December 26th. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the perfect gift for every Latina in your life, honestly. But I want to ask you, you know, in your letter to the reader, you mention imposter syndrome, and we have talked about this as well over the years at Locatora. And you mention, you know, silencing the chatter in your head, that you're an award-winning journalist, like you are more than capable of doing this. So I wanted to ask you, like, how did you ground yourself and silence the chatter in your head so that you could show up for this project?
It took time. like I said, this, I had like three and a half months to work on this, and weeks went by and I just did not get started because of this chatter. And I'm not a person who has really dealt with oh my god, what's the word?
Procrastination.
definitely procrastination. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a procrastinator, and I really don't deal with writer's block too much. So I was like, what is going on? Because this is a really unfamiliar experience. Like, I'm a trained journalist. Like, I get an assignment, I do my reporting, and I get it done. I have a quick deadline. You know, I remember when I was in grad school, my professors were always so impressed by how quickly I was able to submit essays. And it was because of my journalism background. So I was just like, wait, what is going on? And it really was this imposter syndrome. And I think the way that I was able to work through it was in doing much of the research for this book. I was like, I know this, you know, like this wasn't like, none of this was news to me. A lot of it wasn't news to me, right? And so it was just constantly, really just constantly having to remind myself that I actually know what I'm talking about. And I might not be a psychologist, a therapist, a healer, but I have centered so much of what I put into this book in my writing throughout my entire career. And I'd also say that just speaking to friends, y'all know Connie. Connie's mm-hmm. like the best cheerleader anyone could ever have. And she just gassed me enough. to motivate me to start writing. And then once I did start writing, it just flowed because I know what I'm writing about, and that chatter is just a liar.
Yeah, it's like in a lot of ways, your whole career, you've been doing the research and the investigation into the topic from different angles without necessarily having this book as an end goal.
Yep.
Which is pretty amazing. And it also speaks to, you know, it makes sense that they reached out to you to write this book because you have like this extensive background in journalism as it relates to self-care for Latinas without necessarily calling it that specifically.
Yep, exactly. Like so much of my work has focused on colonialism, on body politics, on Marianismo, right? And these are topics that come up over and over again in this book, because these are topics that we have to explore if we are going to seriously talk about self-care for us.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, when prepping for this interview, I texted you and I was like, we need to talk about Marianismo, because I don't think as a community we talk about it enough.
We do not.
We talk about machismo all the time.
Yep.
The way it has ruined our lives, runs our lives, like, and we have to like extricated from our lives, right?
But Marianismo is what sustains machismo.
Exactly. Marianismo is the other side of it, right? So let's talk about it, because I don't think we've actually talked about it on this show in an extensive way. So let's talk about it now. Let's define it. Like, what is Marianismo and how are you using that theme, that concept in this book?
Yeah, so Marianismo is like this ideal of femininity that women are supposed to live up to, right? These traits of being modest, of being abstinent, of being subordinate, right? And so the way that I connect this with self-care is, you know, just thinking before Latinas can even embark on a self-care journey or adopt a self-care routine, we have to address Marianismo, right? Because it's this deeply entrenched culture that has taught us since girlhood that to be good, to be a good girl, to be a good woman, to be a good Latina, is to be self-sacrificial. So what happens when we care for ourselves, when we pour into ourselves, when we become self-full? We feel guilty and shameful because we've been told that these things are bad, right? We are punished for mentally, physically, and spiritually caring for ourselves, if not by society, then by internalizing these societal expectations. It haunts us. And I'm speaking from experience, right? And so if this is how we feel, then how effective is self-care really if it makes us feel so bad in these other ways?
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because I think part of the Marianismo and womanhood, there is this emphasis on, like, take care of yourself, but so that you look good.
Yes.
For your partner, for your husband, right? Or for your prospective husband. Like, you're taking care of your appearance. And there's that phrase out there that I feel like is mostly in English. There's probably an equivalent in Spanish. But, like, the idea of, like, a woman letting herself go, mm-hmm. it usually has to do with her appearance.
Yep.
And as she gets older and such. And so it's fascinating, too, to think about taking care of ourselves without a husband in mind, without mm-hmm. a boyfriend in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, taking care of ourselves in every other way.
Yep. There's even that idea that beauty hurts.
Yeah. Yes, right? Totally. Like, totally.
And so those are the ways in which that we're supposed to care for ourselves. We're expected to care for ourselves in ways that cause us more pain. Right. And so we need to take care of ourselves, or rather, we need to unlearn Marianismo to effectively care for ourselves. And we need to take care of ourselves because our self, you know, sacrifice doesn't serve us or our communities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so ingrained in us, in our families. And then, you know, our mothers often then raise us and we perpetuate this Marianismo on each other. I think about mm-hmm. now in my first year of marriage, how my mother has these expectations for me, mm-hmm. not necessarily my partner, the person that I married, but my mother has these expectations of how I'm supposed to be as a quote wife. And we don't adhere to them, right? And mm-hmm. so even this external force that is someone so close to me, obviously, like my mother, is still putting this pressure on me mm-hmm. to behave a certain way, do things a certain way, even though that's not what we do and how we want to be in a yeah. relationship, right? But it very much runs, it has the ability, the potential to run our lives if we let it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, that's the goal, right? Like, the very idea of gendered self-sacrifice is colonial.
mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Marianismo gets its name from the Virgin Mary. mm-hmm. You know, a figure who the Catholic Church has turned into the paragon of self-sacrifice. She dedicated her entirety to the Catholic God, right? Having its son, and then committing herself to him. And so when the Spanish colonized what's now known as Latin America and parts of the Caribbean, they facilitated the expansion of their empire through religious conversion. We know this, overwhelmingly by force. And this included religious gender-based expectations that supported their patriarchal conquest. these traits, you know, included things like, you know, being subordinate, being pure, being quiet, being humble, being modest. And the colonial church taught that these are the attributes that make good women. And in reality, it was and remains traits that make good colonial subjects, right? Good, quiet, accommodating servants in their empire. And yes. That's still true today.
It's so funny that we're talking about this on Dia de la Virgen. Like, it's literally today? December 12th.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
All the Guadalupanas listening, yeah. Don't get mad. If you're a Guadalupana, if your mom's a Guadalupana, it's okay. We love you guys. We're just saying.
We're just saying. This is the history.
This is
real history. Context is important.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's an impossible standard to live up to because, you have to be a mother but a virgin at the same time.
Yes.
Or you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So let's get into some of the specifics of the book. You know, this book is broken up into three parts of mind, body, and spirit. So I wanted to talk about some of them today. We brought a couple examples. Starting with mind, one of my favorites that you wrote was turn reggaeton lyrics into affirmations and repeat them to yourself. And I love this one so much because I know that you have a longer essay that you published a couple years ago about how reggaeton music helped you in your healing journey.
Yep.
So I loved seeing this callback to that. So tell us more about, of course, the inspiration behind this affirmation, this tip for self-care of the mind, and what went into you creating this?
Yeah, I was just... this was actually one of the... the tips that I had shared in my overview, like, because it was one that just felt so, like, this is something that I've already been doing for years. And literally, no one can hype you up the way a reggaetonero hypes you up. Like, like, oh my God. And so I, you know, I often, you know, Boricua from Orlando, like, you hear reggaeton everywhere you go here. And these lyrics just, they helped bring me back to life during a really, really dark time. And they continue to do so in different ways. Like, even, you know, thinking about Un Verano Sin Ti, the album, Bad Bunny's, not his last album, but 2 years ago.
I can't believe it.
I think so. Wow.
Yeah, wild. But that album, I didn't listen to it at first, which is like a shocker because y'all know I had a whole Bad Bunny birthday party. Like, yes. Stan, right? But that was the first summer that I was experiencing without my best friend. And so that title just knocked me out. And then when I started listening to it, it gave me life, and it also felt like Angie was with me while every time that I was listening to it. And so I just think that there's something so powerful in these lyrics, right? That, you know, some might see as frivolous, but the way that they can really empower you and breathe new life into you and just hype you and make you feel good about yourself, like, that's not frivolous to me.
I love that approach too, because over the years, you know, of course, there's been criticism, whether it's like of hip hop lyrics or reggaeton lyrics, of like objectifying women or whatever the language may be, hypersexualization. But then there's also been folks like, you know, Gata of Reggaeton con la Gata. I think you're doing this too with the way you're using reggaeton. It's like reclaiming it and finding the good and finding the positive and, like, I don't know, giving it like some cultural context that is not, it's not so damning, you know, it's like, yeah. No, let's look at this for what it is holistically.
Yep. And both things can be true, right? Like, we can critique and we can also take what serves us and makes us feel good.
Totally.
Yeah. I love that.
Hell yeah. I also feel like over the years, I really, when I think of you, Raquel, I think of a lot of the work and the writing that you've done around body positivity and bodily autonomy. And I love how you are touching upon that as well in the book and in different ways about rebuilding your relationship with cultural foods and also reclaiming your bodily autonomy. And I want to ask why it was important for you to include the cultural foods and the bodily autonomy in the self-care book.
Yeah, so this section was the easiest for me to write. Someone actually asked if there were more tips in this section, and they're not. There aren't any more than the others. It's evenly split, but I think maybe these excerpts are a little longer. But yeah, I was really able to, I think, go off in this section because it has centered so much of my work on. And so especially like these two topics that you mentioned, rebuild your relationship with your cultural foods. Yeah, I felt like this was so necessary to include, especially for me as a vegan. Like, I know that when I first went vegetarian, I went vegetarian when I was 14, I felt like I had to not eat Puerto Rican food because it was just impossible to do so, right? Because everywhere I went, like, I couldn't escape the pork. And even at home, like, with my mom, like, my mom would try to sneak ham.
Yes.
No. Into the food.
Yes.
She would try to sneak it in there for me. And
I have a tia that would do that to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I would feel it. Like, I would end up throwing up because my body rejected it, you know? And I also remember, like, I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and I remember being in church and people putting hands on me, praying for me, to, like, eat meat because they were just like, what's wrong with her? Like, this is a
Stop
blessing
it.
From God. I'm not kidding, right?
What?
Right. So like at this time where I'm just like, I just feel like I can't eat my foods that have just comforted me throughout my life have just now felt like, yeah, like it just felt like, you know, like everyone was trying to force me into eating meat through my cultural foods. And so it took some time for me to rebuild that relationship. And that meant learning to cook Puerto Rican dishes vegan. And then also the fact that there are so many vegan Boricua restaurants now, like, or I think Orlando's like has more vegan Puerto Rican restaurants than anywhere outside of Puerto Rico. So just seeing other people find ways to create like pernil, right? Mofongo, like just all of these delicious dishes. It's been helpful. And also what's been helpful is I think now I've been able to like change my family's perspective. And so I remember one year actually for Christmas, my abuelita made me vegan pasteles.
Aww.
Yeah. And now if we go somewhere, like my mom will always call in advance and say, hey, are there meat in like the arroz con gandules? Or like, do we need to, you know, cook a separate pot for Raquel? But that took time. But for a lot of us, like it's that, right? But then it's also like the ways in which, I mean, and vegan, you know, the vegan culture is guilty of doing this as well. It's like demeaning and villainizing these foods that we all grew up with and calling them bad when they're not bad.
Wow. I mean, praying over you that you would eat meat again is like something else. That's wow. Next level.
It's wild. It's wild. It haunts me still.
It's also fascinating because it sounds like, you know, like, I don't know, like everybody's all in everybody else's business. Like, dang, you know what I mean? Like, why do they care so much about what you're eating? It's just that like, it's very Latino. You know what I mean?
It's so Latino. Yeah, it was definitely a Spanish language Pentecostal church.
It is so Latino. It's so Latino too, because it like, it teaches us so young that like our body is not ours, right? Yep. Like everybody can have an opinion not only about what our bodies look like, but what we even put in them.
Totally.
Right? Yep. It's food. And that we're not even allowed to do that. And so, yeah, of course, like you have been centering like bodily autonomy in your work for over the past decade. And I love to see this, the rebuild your relationships with cultural food and reclaim your bodily autonomy. Like I loved seeing this. And just that whole section I think is so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, and that also goes back to the idea of Marianismo, right? Yeah. Like that's what teaches us that our bodies are not ours, right? It teaches us that our modesty will protect us when it mm-hmm. doesn't. And then that concept, like because of that is why we then blame ourselves for the crimes committed against us when it's all bullshit.
It's all connected.
100%.
Yes. So, you know, the last section is the spirit section. And I wanted to ask you about this passage that you have about discovering the heroines of your homeland. So tell us more. This is one of my favorite passages. Tell us more about this one.
Yeah. So in this passage, I write about how we don't often hear or learn the stories of our, you know, Latina, Latin American, Caribbean heroines. We rarely even hear those stories of our heroes, right? And so even less women. And that sometimes makes us think that we don't have heroines, right? But that's not true. We have, you know, Latinas both here in the United States and women across Latin America and the Caribbean who have long like stood up against colonialism, violence, who have just pushed back, fought back, used their voices, used their privileges. And then also in various, you know, like mediums, right? From politics, to music, to communities. We have heroes in our own families. So it's necessary to excavate this history and connect and be inspired by these women.
Love it. Including you, you being one of those women.
Yes.
Oh my God.
At this stage. And like, as you continue to work, no, for sure. Totally. You're like, you've been killing it for a long time. You continue to do so. We're so proud of you and proud to know you.
Thank you, babe.
And I think it's also very exciting that this book is being carried at major outlets. I mean, it's Simon & Schuster, but you can buy this book at Target. You can buy the book at Barnes & Noble, which I think is a humongous accomplishment. How does it feel?
Wild. That's wild. That's so wild to me. Like, I was on the phone. So I've just been like, I know that the book is available online. And I'm just like, I'm curious, like, storefronts, like, are they selling the book too? And I know, like, there's a few Barnes and Nobles, like, here in Orlando and just across the country that are, but I was really curious about, like, the Targets and the Walmarts. And so, actually, a few days ago, I called the Target that I grew up going to in East Orlando. And to ask if they were going to be carrying this book. And they sent me around to so many different people. But at the end, there was this really, really sweet lady. And she was like, oh my God, yes, we're going to have a few copies here. I'm going to let you know when we have them. And I'm going to call you so you could come by if you want to, like, take a look. But congratulations. We're so happy for you here at, like, Orlando Target.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
Hometown hero.
Yeah.
Hometown gal, I'm telling you. Doing it.
Orlando Zone.
Orlando's finest.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you have been putting people on not only like across the U.S., but specifically, I know you rep Orlando really hard. That's your hometown. So that's so exciting to see.
Yeah, y'all know I go super hard for Orlando. When I got my box of galleys, I kept like 5 of them, and I wrote little notes in them, and I put them in little libraries, you know, the little community library boxes.
Yes,
cute.
Across downtown to East Orlando, and it's just, again, the reception has been really, really beautiful, and they've all been taken. So folks out here are reading. I gave Orlando that sneak preview.
Love
amazing.
It.
The book is going to travel far and wide. We're so excited for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been such a long, like, overdue interview. Like, we've been wanting to have you on for a long time now. So I'm so glad our first interview officially is about your book. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both. I love y'all. Thank you.
And this has been another episode of Locatora Radio.
Besitos.
Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Munoz, and Diosa Femme.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
Network. Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.